Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Training the Woman of Man radio broadcast hosted by Mrs. Linda D. Carter. Week before last, we talked about training the woman of man, and we talked about the position of the wife and her characteristics. I would like to start this class by reading out of the Word of God that this class is based on. So turn to Titus, which is in the New Testament, chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. The aged woman, or should I say the older or mature woman, likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I just want to share this with you. In order for me, the older woman, to teach you anything regarding this word, the word that I just read, I must be able to demonstrate to you the character of a wife. I mean, you can't learn something from me if I don't have it. So you want to connect with an older woman that is godly, that is a believer, that loves her husband, that has been married for some time, so that she can give you some wisdom concerning your position as the wife. If you witness an older woman, even myself, disrespecting her husband, it will be difficult for you to listen to anything that I say. So that's why there are qualifications of the older, the aged woman, to even teach the younger woman. You just can't have any woman just teaching the younger woman. I don't care if they are believers. If they are believers that's not following this word, then my advice to you is not to listen to them, because what they're going to do is give you their worldly view and not a godly perspective. You want to always have a godly and godly perspective coupled with her wisdom. So you want to make sure that you're listening to the right older woman. And you will have some women on your job that you might respect highly, you know, maybe your bosses or women that you admire on your job, but if they're not believers, if they don't love the Lord, if they're not going to give you a godly perspective, then you are not to listen to them, because you will be listening to someone that is not giving you a viewpoint via the word. And you want to listen to someone that will be able to give you the right information. You just don't want to just listen to anybody. So the older woman must have qualifications herself in order for her to be able to teach you, you know, and she has to be an ensample. She has to follow what she teaches. You shouldn't, like I said, you shouldn't receive counsel from the ungodly woman. She will only give you her ungodly worldview. There's a difference between the unbelieving wife and the godly wife. There is a difference, because the godly wife is going to think, going to have a godlike mind. She's going to think according to the word. But a worldly wife is going to think according to worldview. And you may get an older woman that may be have a spirit of Jezebel, that may have a spirit of rebellion, and you don't want a rebellious person someone into your life. You want someone with wisdom that will give you a godly point of view. The counsel that you receive from the older woman should be from the word and the wisdom that she has gained through her successful marriage. Now, are all marriages successful because they're long? No. You have some people that have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, and they will tell you themselves that they're unhappy. Well, I wouldn't receive counsel from that type of woman. So you want to make sure that you take counsel from a godly woman that loves Jesus, that loves the word, that loves her husband, that's going to give you the right information. Your marriage can be successful, but you must watch how you build on it. You can have a successful marriage, but you got to be careful of how you build on your marriage. You know, you have to have the character of a wife. First and most importantly, you must love your husband in order for you to be of good help to him. You must respect him in order to correctly honor his position as your head, as your leader, and the father of your children. So you must be able to be in love with him. I have heard women say throughout the years that I've just fallen out of love with him. Well, that tells me that you never really loved him. Because if you are in love with your husband, you're going to be there for him. And I'm speaking to the believing wife on today. And for those that want to become wives, it's very important that you know that you who you are, that you know that you were taken out of man, which I read about on last week in Genesis, I believe, that you were taken out of man to be of help to him. God himself presented you to your husband to be of good help to him. So that's what you want to do. You want to be of good help. You don't want to be the type of woman that does not have this character. I mean, a lot of people can say that they love you, but if they're not willing to help you, then that speaks of that they don't really truly love you. Now, many women say that they want to be married, but have you truly counted the cost of what it will take to make your marriage work? And I said in counseling sessions with my husband, counseling many women, married women, single women, and I'm telling you that you have to want to make your marriage work. Just in case you didn't know, marriage is work. And you do have to do your part in order for it to function normal. It's just like you going on your job. You know, you're on your job. If you don't do your job, then you're not functioning. If you don't function as what you were called to do, then you're not functioning. You can't do your job effectively. The same with marriage. You're a wife. You have to function as a wife. And you have to function to the point where you will make your marriage work. Communication is one of the biggest tools in the marriage covenant. Now, will you be able to stand with your husband when times get tough? And we talked about this week before last, i.e., he loses his job or he gets sick. Or maybe he has a weakness that he has shared with you. And instead of you praying for him, you judge him. Instead of you encouraging him that he's going to get a job and don't worry, that you have his back, that you're going to take care of the bills, that he is not to worry, but just concentrate on what he needs to do. I mean, you're not being a wife if you can't help him. That's what you're there for. Your major function as a wife is to help your husband, is to be of good help. Not just to help him, but to be of good help. So if your husband gets sick, what are you going to do? Just leave the marriage? And I mean, even the vows itself say for sickness and health, you know, and richness and poorness and sickness and health, to death do us part. I mean, we've made vows to one another. But as soon as things happen, even in the body of Christ, women will flee. I have known women to fall in love with their pastors and leave their husbands of many years and marry their pastor. That's totally wrong, totally against the marriage covenant. So what are you going to do if your husband is not making $50,000, $70,000 a year? Let's say he was doing that when y'all first got married, but now he had to get a job at McDonald's or Burger King. What are you going to do, leave him? That's why, you know, it's up to me to share with you what you need to do as a believing wife. You need to help that brother. You need to stick by him. You need to respect him. Do not dishonor him when he loses his job. That's not a time for you to man bash him. That's not a time for you to get with your girlfriends and talk about your husband. That's not a time for you to go to the pastor's wife and complain, or go to your mother and them and complain. That's a time for you to pray for your husband, to hold him up in prayer, to encourage his heart. He's already feeling bad. He's already going through. And he doesn't need, for you, he doesn't want to feel like you're disappointed in him. I know what I'm talking about through experience. He does not want to feel that you're disappointed in him. So you are to encourage him, to love him, through all of whatever you go through, because we live in cycles. Sometimes we'll have finances, sometimes we won't. One of you might be sick and the other one might not, and you're to take care of each other. I remember when we first moved down here to Richmond, Virginia, and in 1988, I had to have an emergency surgery. I had what you call a myomectomy, which means I had fibroid tumors removed from my womb. And I had to rely and depend on my husband to take care of me. I had just gotten a job in 1987, I think in the latter part of 87, and in 88, I had to have this surgery. Well, I didn't have time off. I had to take time off. So my husband made sure he took care of us. He made sure he took care of me. He took care of the finances. He did whatever he had to do. He did a paper route. He worked whatever job he had to do to make sure that the bills was taken care of. He made sure that he took care of me physically. And I appreciate that, because it's the first day that I went back to work, I got a call from downstairs in the emergency department where I worked at Chippenham, and they told me, Mrs. Carter, your husband is in the ED. My husband had fell off a roof of the church that he was trying to, the building that he was trying to help, at that time, help the pastor repair. He fell and broke his clavicle. That was the first day that I came back from being out of work for about 6 to 7 weeks. But then it was my turn to take care of my husband, to show him love, to show him that I cared just like he cared for me. Are you willing to do that, woman of faith, or are you just chucking and jiving? Are you just saying, I want to be married because you think that's the thing to do, that's the new fad? I mean, this is not a fad. I'm telling you that marriage is work. Marriage is love. Marriage is commitment. Are you willing to commit yourself to this level? You must ask yourself that. You just can't dive into marriage thinking it's going to be all right. You just can't think that that one magical day where you're looking beautiful, he's your king, you're his queen, and you guys just dance the night away. When you come back from that love vacation, let me tell you something. Reality is going to set in. You're going to see each other for who you really are as opposed to who you tried to think you were. So, you know, just to let you know that marriage is serious business. And God treats it as serious business, and we should treat it as serious business. So that when we get sick, our husbands get sick, we are to take care of one another. But how far are we willing to be? How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to be his wife? You know, do you give up? Do you just say, well, we grew apart and we don't love each other anymore? Like I said before, you know, I just shared with somebody recently. It seems to me that you never really loved each other, because you just don't leave just like that and say, we just grew apart. We just, you know, we don't love each other anymore. Not in the body of Christ. So you have to be very, very careful when you say that you want to be married. It's just not something that we just do randomly. Now, we got married because we were in love with each other back in 1977. My husband and I got married. We were truly in love with one another. And I think because of that love is what sealed our marriage, even through the rough and tough times. Well, when I married my husband, I had just gotten over a nervous breakdown. And I shared with my husband that I had a mental illness, basically. And I shared that with him. Well, for years, my husband had to endure this sickness. But he loved me through this sickness. He loved me through it. And I'm a stronger woman now because I had the genuine love that I needed to overcome this. I was told, even through my sickness, they told my husband that I would be on medication for the rest of my life. But I'm here, and I declare unto you that 34 years ago when I gave my life to the Lord, I don't need medications anymore. I'm healed. I'm delivered. But it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ's healing power, and also it's because I had a husband that truly loved me out of this. He loved me through it, and I thank God for him. You know, and I mean, that's how much you have to love one another. You can't leave someone when they're down. You can't leave someone when they're out. You cannot leave because you just feel like giving up. You should never say your vows to a man. You should never say your vows to a man if you don't care for him, if you're just using him, if you just want someone to sex it up with or to have finance, make sure that you're financially taken care of. You can take care of yourself. Many women have jobs that they can take care of themselves. They don't need a man for that. When you marry someone, you should marry them because you love them, because you want to be good to them. You want to be their helpmeet. You want to be there for them when the whole world is against them. You want to be by their side. That's why you should marry someone. You know, the wisdom that I have from 39 years of marriage is just to tell you that, you know, make sure that you have the character of a wife. Don't just walk into marriage. You know, make sure that you are delivered, that you're set free. Now, you're going to have to still be cleansed by your husband, because that's the word, that the husband should cleanse you by the washing and renewing of the word. That is his part to do. But make sure that you don't come to him all raggedy, like a raggedy Ann. You understand what I'm saying? Make sure that you're delivered. If you've got some kind of spirit that needs to be delivered, then please get set free from that. You know, I mean, just don't marry him just to be marrying him. Just don't marry him because you want something out of the relationship. Yes, we all want to be loved. We all want to be cared for. We all want to walk with somebody through this life. But make sure you're doing it for the right intention. Make sure you have good intentions and not evil ones. Because if you have evil intentions, it's going to show throughout your marriage. You may last for 1, 10, maybe even 20 years. But in a little while, it's going to show that you never really did love that man. You know, so make sure that you love that man, that you love God. Because if you love God and you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart for real, and you have a humble heart, and you really want to submit to that man, then that's going to be a blessing to him. Because no man wants to marry someone that really truly doesn't love him. No woman wants to marry a man that doesn't truly love him. So you want to make sure that you be right in your relationship, have the right attitude and the right heart, because it's for better or for worse, and it's for a lifetime. I am very, very happy to have been married for almost 40 years, to knowing my husband for 40 years and being married to him for 40 years or next year. I am very, extremely happy. I think that's one of our, Apostle Carter, my greatest achievements, is that we love one another and that we have a successful marriage in Christ. Outside of Christ, we couldn't do it. But in Christ, him being that third cord, we were able to do it. And we were able to show other people how it can be done. I've been doing the Training the Woman of Man classes for 22 years now. And I love teaching younger women how to love their husbands, how to be good housekeepers. You know, loving your husband is also loving his home, doing right by him, doing right by his children, being respectful to him so that his children would respect him. You know, there's no greater honor to a man than to have that respect. you need to respect your husband. If you show disrespect to your husband, especially in front of your children, don't you know that would teach your children to disrespect their father? That is the greatest sin that a wife could commit. It really is, for you to damage your children's mind by affecting them, by contaminating their relationship with their fathers. Because children love their fathers. It is the mother that can teach their children not to love their father, to disrespect their father, because they spend a lot of time, mothers spend a lot of time with their children. They ought to nurture their children. But you have to nurture your children in the right way. So, you know, it is my job as the older woman to teach you how to love your children in the right way and to teach you, like I said, how to make a good home for your husband. If you're the type of woman that you have a problem with good housekeeping, then make sure you start being able to clean up your home or where you're living at now, because that's a quality that men look at and they look for to see if you're able to clean, not only cook, but to be able to take care of their home. You know, and now you have situations where they want to reverse the roles in marriage. But I tell you not to do that. You're the wife. You're to do the duties of a wife. He's the husband. He's to do the duty of a husband. Don't try to trade out. Now, if your husband is the type of man that he likes to help you, I don't see anything wrong with that. But don't try to twist up the covenant. Don't try to twist up the job descriptions. In other words, make sure that you stay in the realm of being the wife and not trying to be the husband and vice versa. Also, I would like to read Romans, the 8th chapter, the 35th verse, and that reads, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now we have to take this very statement I was thinking of earlier this morning. You have to take that very statement that I just read and apply it to our marriage covenant. Who will you allow to separate you from your husband? Now I have a short testimony I would like to say to you guys. When I first got married, my family came against us really heavy in the marriage covenant. I had people trying to turn me against my husband. I had people who thought my husband wasn't good enough for me. I mean, I had to deal with all of that, but I had to stand up against those spirits. And so you're going to have to stand up against anyone that is trying to tear away your marriage covenant, whether it be your mother, your father, your brothers, your cousins, the people on your job, whoever it be, your so-called friends, whoever it is. You are not to allow anyone to separate you from your husband. Because when you allow another entity to invade your marriage covenant, you invite the enemy in to your marriage covenant. And it can destroy, because a little leaven truly does leaven the whole lump. That little leaven, that little poison that you allow to go into your mind and you allow it to fester there, and you begin to think on what these people are poisoning you with against your husband, that will grow into a huge cancer and can destroy your marriage. Because I did not allow anyone to come into my marriage to destroy my marriage, is how my marriage is still surviving today. Because if I would have listened to people, if I would have followed the advice that some people gave me, I would not have a marriage today. If my husband would have followed some of the advice that people gave him even prior to him marrying me. We wouldn't be married. So you have to keep out all of these entities that try to come and invade your covenant. Don't allow anyone to invade your marriage. Because when you do that, that's when you begin to tear down your marriage with your own hands. When you begin to listen to people saying, well, he's not right. Look at what he's doing to you. He's not working. I mean, come on. You don't want to be married to someone like that. And he's always sick. I mean, come on. You deserve better than that. When you start listening to those voices and it goes into your spirit and you start, really thinking upon those things, you got to throw that stuff out your mind as soon as it comes. You got to rebuke those people who speak against your marriage covenant, even if it's your mother, if it's your father, your sister, your brother, whoever it may be. I think that my brothers, at least I know one of my dear brothers, they all love my husband now. They really do. They always tell me, give him my love. That's my brother. But one of my brothers, he did not want me to be angry with him. He came to me and he told me, please forgive me for doing that. I am so sorry. I know that, sometimes your family think that they're looking out for you, but not when it comes to your marriage. They're not looking out for you. Not unless don't get me wrong, if you're being physically abused, I do not ordain you being physically and verbally being abused. I don't ordain that. But what I'm talking about, if you have a marriage and you might be working out some trials or whatever, and then you have, your family coming and giving you advice, telling you what to do, telling you what you should do, how you should just leave, you can't listen to that. Because when you begin to give ear to that, you will begin to destroy your own marriage. Many people's marriage have been destroyed by other people. Sometimes you listen to your girlfriend, and you listen to your girlfriend, and that same girlfriend, she's not married. So as soon as you lose your husband, guess who has him? Your girlfriend. You don't believe it? I've seen it happen throughout the years, and it can happen to you. So as a wise older woman, I beg of you, please keep people out of your marriage covenant. You can be polite and nice to them and tell them, in a very nice way, I just need for you to mind your business because this is my business, this is my life, this is my husband, this is who I've been with, this is the best friend that I chose to walk with, to walk this life together. You are not to dare come against my covenant. Because when you do that, you are counted as an enemy and not a friend. You are counted as a foe, and I won't have nothing to do with you. And I didn't want that to happen in my family, so it was the best thing for me to do, and which I did do, was go to them directly and tell them, don't mess with Bill. Don't disrespect my husband. Because if you disrespect my husband, you're going to hear my mouth. And I think that at least my brothers know now that not to mess with Diane's husband because she's going to tell you about yourself. And I think people know that now. But you have to make sure, and another thing that I advise younger wives not to do is not to be in conversation with, worldly conversation with those people that are on your job that are man bashing their husband. Please do not listen to that foolishness because it goes into your ear gate, goes into your spirit. Next thing you know, you home and your husband didn't do nothing to you. You begin to fuss at him and you don't even know where that came from. But if you think, if you're open to the spirit, you will know that it came from those silly women that you was dealing with, that you was listening to. So be mindful of that. I can hear people now conversate, and I tune them right out. I don't even listen to what they have to say. They'll say, Mr. Carter, did you hear me? No, because the Lord didn't want me to hear you. And so, that's some of the ways of really saving the marriage covenant. I pray that you have enjoyed listening to this word on today. I have so much more information to give you concerning the training of woman of man. I have so much to impart on you. Thank you again. God bless.